You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Allison Renborg in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And you are listening to the monthly Equine Affair episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 21st. This episode is brought to you by Equine Affair. Good morning, Horse World.
It's the third Thursday of the month. That means it's time for the Equine Affair episode, North America's premier equine expo and equestrian gathering.
Well, we're only a month away from Equine Affair, and this is the point where Allison panics.
I'm actually not panicking. I was thinking about that. Last night. I was like, Glenn's going to say I'm panicking, and I'm really not.
No,
and
you now got everything under control.
Now I'm wondering if I'm forgetting something.
You forgot to panic.
I forgot to panic. So actually, things are going really well. So feeling good about it for
once. We're literally a month out by as we're recording this. We're recording this a week ahead, we're a month out. So All's good for Ohio. We have the Equine Affair coming up in Ohio. I did want to mention a couple of things. We are, thanks to Equine Affair, Horse Radio Network, we're going to have our own booth this year. So you will be able to hang out and do the show. We will be there from Thursday on. We're going to be in booth number 207 in the Bricker Building, which is the main building with all of the vendors. And we're going to be right down from where we were before, actually. So we're going to be a few booths away from where we were the last time for anybody that visited us last time. And once again, you and I are going to do three different episodes there.
Yes, I'm very excited. It was a lot of fun last time, except for you being sick halfway through.
So glad that didn't happen again.
I know. But I was remembering there was like a bachelor party and we just like stopped the show to say, wait, who's getting married?
That's
what?
Right.
That was really fun.
It was a bachelorette party, right?
That's
they were
right.
All dressed up and wearing something. I forget what.
I think they had sashes on. Oh, I think she had a bride-to-be sash.
That's
and that's
right.
How we... They were good sports. They talked to us.
I love that kind of stuff that happens at live events because there's always something like that and it just pops up and you just have to grab them and go with it. It's like, I love that stuff. We met so many cool people last year, a lot of them that we've had on as guests on the show all year now. We do a regular segment with a pet communicator and she comes on once a month. I met her at Equine Affair. So Kaylee Marie, who's a regular guest here on the show, we met her at Equine Affair. So there's so many cool things that happened last year that I'm excited about this year.
Well, and Kaylee's going to be in Fantasia this year.
Yes, and she's terrific. Her freestyle stuff is just out of this world, their Liberty stuff. And so we're going to be there. We're going to record Friday morning, Saturday morning, and Sunday morning from 9:30 to 11 if you want to stop by and watch. We love getting our fans on the show. So we'll do that too. We'll have a number of guests. The way I call this Twitter style, we kind of do this show Twitter style in that we have many more guests than we usually do for shorter periods of time. So we'll have a guest for 5-10 minutes, move on to the next one. Cause I think that's what Equine Affair is all about. It's like you're walking around and spending a little bit of time with vendors and clinicians and things like that. Well, you get to do that on the show with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you can't make it to Equine Affair, then you can still enjoy it because we'll be putting out the normal Friday episode and then two special episodes on Saturday and Sunday. You get bonuses that week. I think it's so cool how we get to make it feel like you're there. And thanks to Allison, who is very busy at Equine Affair. She's in charge of the PR or in charge of social media, and she takes her time out to do this. So I really do appreciate that.
Well, it's like a highlight of my morning, and I get to spend it with you guys and then rush off and do everything else.
Yeah, then she's busy like a crazy fool till about midnight.
But like I get to sit still for a few hours in the morning and then.
I do want to mention, remember we did a listener meetup last year? And that was organized by one of our listeners by the name of Julie. And she's organizing another meetup this year. I think we had 15 or 20 there last year. And we're going to be going to a restaurant in Polaris. We're going to be doing that. It's going to be on Thursday at that's April 11th from 6:30 to 9. So if you're in the area, if you're a listener in the area and want to join us and just have dinner together and just have fun chatting and having a good time, we'll be doing that on the Thursday night. We usually do it on the Thursday night because it's Fantasia and everything's Friday and Saturday. So we look forward to seeing you there. I will post that link. We have a Facebook meeting set up, so I'll post that link on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page and also in the auditor room, but I did want to mention that. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there.
That'll be so fun. And usually everybody brings you presents. So.
I don't mind that part.
No.
Not mandatory.
No. Not mandatory, guys.
No.
But Glenn really likes
presents. Yeah. Not mandatory. I do like presents, though. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up on today's show.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about today's show. It is all about Cowtown and Cooper. And I think we have mentioned this on our previous shows, but this is going to be where we get to really talk about it in depth. So Cowtown and Cooper is this sort of brand new feature we're doing. We have not had cows on site at Equine Affair in Ohio for about 10 years. And this year we're bringing them back. So we'll have real live cows, no mechanical cows, no flags. We're having cows. And so in the Cooper Arena on Friday and Saturday, we'll be having clinics all day long that are all about those cow-oriented Western disciplines. So we're talking roping, boxing, ranch sorting, reining, cutting, and whatever else we can shove in there. And so
sorting
in today's
and cutting
show,
is so big now. You know, it's one of the fastest growing areas.
It's really fun. I love what it's fun to watch.
It's fun to watch.
So that's the cool thing is like you don't know what the cow's gonna do, which makes it challenging for the people riding the horse in the arena, but it makes it fun for the audience. You can take bets.
So we have guests on today. They're gonna talk about that.
We do. So our first guest is going to be John Strayer. And if you have been to Equine Affair, you know who he is. He's very tall. He wears a cowboy hat. And he is usually our venue manager in the Coliseum. He's been with us pretty much all 30 years. And Cowtown and Cooper was his brainchild. So we're going to talk to him first. And then we'll talk with one of our clinicians, Dave Treharn, and learn all about breakaway roping. So let's get a little Western today.
And I did notice that you're having other clinicians involved in this too. Steve Landbit, who's been on the show here before, and Kevin
He's
Raber.
Always a hoot.
Yeah. Yep. So Tanner Keith, who does ranch sorting, and Ken McNabb, he's been on the show here before too. So
yes.
I'm looking forward to seeing all these guys again.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time. We're going to have a lot of fun, and it's going to be very cowy. So wear your cowboy boots, wear your cowboy hats. Be prepared for the extra, what is it? The extra aroma of cow.
Well, it should be. You know, it is a place to set up for that.
Exactly.
Plus, are you doing the drive a draft thing again this year?
Yes, we are.
Tell everybody what that is.
Oh my gosh. It's my other favorite thing. So drive a draft is with the Whispery Pines Percherons who, I think we've interviewed the Redingers on this show before. It's a married couple, and their whole business is they log with the Percherons. They also do carriage rides for weddings and parties and things like that. And so they bring their beautiful Percheron geldings to Equine Affair, and you get to drive them in the drive-a-draft. So literally, your hands are on the reins, and you're getting to ground drive, either a single or a pair, around the arena, and then Kelly or Sam Redinger will help you and guide you and kind of talk you through how to do it. But it's like such a unique experience. I am so jealous. I don't ever get to do it. I just get to watch it and then watch video of it. But it looks just like an incredible once in a lifetime experience. So if you want to do drive a draft, I recommend that you sign up as soon as you get there, because they fill up fast. And
I think
in the
that.
Past,
you know, I own Percheron, so this would just be fun.
Yes.
And I drove in the World Percheron Congress Celebrity Drive Competition. Years ago, it was in Massachusetts, actually, where you guys hold, you hold. It was at Springfield, right? West Springfield. And we did, it was Wendy and I were there doing the show. We were doing the driving show then. This is 10 years ago. And they had us drive a pair in the big wagons. And you had to do it for speed around an obstacle course.
Oh, my gosh.
And of course, Wendy won because she's like a four-in-hand, you know, Olympic-level driver. And, sure. And I was just glad I didn't kill anybody or the you know, hurt the horses or roll the cart, you know, the wagon. It was fun, right. though. I mean, I had never driven a pair like that. And then we got to sit on the seat when they were doing an eight in hand. And wow. we got to go around the whole complex outside with an eight in hand at a trot. Oh, my God. There's nothing like the power of eight Percherons in front of you. And the guy with his reins, I mean, they're all just like reins rowing through his fingers. I don't know how he steered them. I have no idea.
It's horsepower. It's horsepower.
It is literally. So cool. So I need to do that.
Yes, you do. You need to do it.
I need to do
they
it.
Are doing that, I think, Friday and Saturday. Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
And the way that you sign up is when you get to Equine Affair, you go to the Whispery Pines Percheron stalls, and they'll be next to it's a bright green wall in the barn. It's like a green screen, green wall. You can't miss it. And of course, you'll see the Percherons, but that's where you sign up for a slot. So make sure you head over there, Glenn, on
Gotta
Thursday.
Gotta do it. Yeah. All right. I'm going to make sure we get them on the show again, too.
Yes.
Because I love talking about Percherons.
Well, and the Redingers are just nice people. And they're so, like, I've gotten to interview them a few times. And we have a couple different video interviews, which you can find on our social media at Equine Affair on Facebook. And they're just cool people. And, like, really, that's your job? You get to just hang out with six gorgeous black Percheron geldings and, like, do hard work with them, do fun stuff, dress them up. I mean, good grief. Talk about a dream job.
So. All right. Well, let's get to our first guest. Who do we have coming up?
Yes. So we have John Strayer. He has been a part of our team on a volunteer and contract basis pretty much since the get-go. He's in Ohio and Mass. So really, there's nobody who knows the ins and outs of our event better than he does. He's also been bringing his whole family along. So we like that. We like a package deal. And if you've been to the event, you have seen him in action because he's famous for doing the walkthrough of the Versatile Horse and Rider competition obstacle course on foot, including hopping the fences and weaving poles. So we always give John a good workout. But we've invited him onto the show today because Cowtown and Cooper was really his brainchild. So let's chat with John and find out all about what sparked his love of Western cattle events and why he wanted to bring Cowtown to Equine Affair. Well, hello, Mayor Strayer. How are you?
Allison, it's good to speak with you. I'm great. The sun is shining in Ohio, which means we're on the precipice, right? We're on the brink of this event.
Yes, yes. Hopefully the sun will be shining in April like it was last year and not the year before where it was like spitting ice alternatively with rain. I was miserable. So we are here to talk about your brainchild. Tell us about Cowtown and Cooper. How'd you come up with this idea?
You know, it's I've been doing this with Equine Affair for over 20 years. And the one thing that I think has always kept me coming back, right, is this organization's ability to kind of move with the equine industry as it moves. And I think in my, you know, viewpoint and from where I stand managing at the Coliseum and seeing it on the ground level on a daily basis, there was a little bit of a gap, I think, from you know what we've done in the past to kind of what we're seeing move in the equine industry to some of this cow horse stuff. And it's no downfall. It just was an opportunity, I think. And thank goodness to the ownership and Kogi and Chad and their ability and willingness to listen. It was an opportunity for me to share with them some thoughts and ideas, and they were willing to run with it. And here we are. So, I mean, the brainchild really comes from just understanding and seeing, you know, what's been happening on TV. I think with shows like Yellowstone and shows like Heartland, there's an exposure to a different sport horse that's there. It's always been there. We know that's been one of the most major parts of American history. It's happening every day on working ranches still today out west.
And look at rodeos. They're still the most popular horse events in the country.
That's right, Glenn. I mean, and growing, right? So how do we bring that? How do we stay in the forefront and show these incredible, you know, equine athletes in this arena, in this realm? We've got the best of the best that, you know, equine athletes that perform in the dressage pen. We've got the best equine athletes that are shown over fences. This is a unique skill set, right? All based in a traditional foundational aspect of horsemanship, but they've got a little bit of different spice to them, right? They've got that little bit of what we hear in the world as cow sense bred into them. And they're going to display some different type of movements and activities with another animal in the arena. And I think it's just going to be something so cool for people to experience. And we're staying on top of the times with what's on TV. And we're seeing the shift also in the show pens from what used to be the traditional, you know, flat work, if you will, horsemanships and pleasures, to now ranch work and ranch work and the growth of ranch work, boxing, ranch horsemanship, ranch trail. Everything's getting ranch on it. And we're just moving with those times. And I'm blessed that Kogi and Chad and Equine Affairs jumped on board, and hopefully we put on a good show in April.
Well, I think we will. I mean, we've got some great people lined up to come teach us. And I think something Glenn and I talked about earlier is, and what you're touching on is, like, it's really fun to watch this from the spectator side. Like, you don't know what the cows are going to do at any given moment. So there's a little bit of that, like, what's going to happen? You know, if you're watching a flat class in English, you pretty much know what's going to happen, right?
That's right.
If everything goes well, it's going to be 20 bay horses, you know, going in a circle. But but with cows, you have no idea what's going to happen. And also with the horses, with cutting and with boxing, often the riders are putting their hand down and the horse is doing what he's bred to do. And that brings in a little bit of a surprise, and you just don't know what's going to happen. So I think it'll be fun for people to watch and learn about this. And then also for the people who are going to get to participate in these clinics, they're going to get to do something that maybe they haven't done before or they've always wanted to do. Maybe they're going to bring a little bit of that cow sense out of their horses that you just don't have the opportunity to do very much if you don't have access to cows. And that's, I mean, I'm excited to have cows on site. We haven't done that in 10 years.
Yeah, I think, you know, to your point, Allison, it's like, you know, that I think we're going to get to hear from some true professionals that are going to give us an opportunity to explain, like, hey, you know, there are things that can be done at home, though, right? Like, you don't, not everybody has the opportunity to have the acreage for cows. You know, I live in the cow world myself with our animals. We don't, but there's opportunity to do exercises, and these folks are going to show, you know, not only what that event is, whether it be a sorting event, whether it be a cutting event, whether it be a boxing event, whether it be roping, they're going to show exercises that these folks can take home and perform on their horses, and maybe some different things that can be utilized, maybe a cow flag that can help build you up to a point where you can start doing these things and maybe have enough confidence to go somewhere where there is a live cow that they can work on. And I think this is that evolution, right? This is that opportunity to see something different and know that there's opportunities. This isn't just something that happens at the big shows. There's opportunities all over the place for these things to occur. And that's what we want to do. We want to expand this great equine world. And I think this is going to be an opportunity for folks to ask questions, see things. I know to Glenn's point, you mentioned the rodeo world, right? We're bringing roping back. And we've seen this huge increase in women's breakaway roping. And what a great opportunity for us to expand upon that and the opportunity for women in rodeo. I think it's great.
And we like that. Yeah. I'm pro women's rodeo. Let's do it.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, you mentioned you're in the cow world. What's your personal interest? Do you show in the cow events? What do you do?
Yeah, my family, we own three cow horses that we do cattle sorting. So nice. We go to sorting events as members of the Ohio Valley Team Penning Association, which is located in the eastern part of the state of Ohio, western part of Pennsylvania. And they run a circuit, and it's a great circuit for beginners to start in. And we've got some really good athletes in there and some great competition. But you find when you get around the cow events that everything is family and family based, and everyone's welcome, and we'll help bring them right along. And that's how this is going to go. In my vision on in April and over in Cowtown, everyone's going to be putting their arms around each other and just having a good old time.
Well, that's the thing is when you go to a Western event, especially raining, and I think people are more familiar with that because that's on TV more, but you know, there's the whistling, there's the cheering, there's the crowd encouragement and almost the crowd participation when someone does something really great. And I love that encouraging atmosphere that just doesn't really feel like it's as much there in the other events. You know, it's like everybody's really quiet and they're watching, but it raining, like everybody's like, yeah, let's talk about it. Let's talk about you did a great job and we're going to cheer you on while you're going. And that's definitely true of the team penning and the cutting and all that stuff. It's going to be a great time.
You bring up a good point, Allison. And that I think part of that is some of these events that you're going to see require teammates. I don't care if it's cutting, you need those turnback folks to be doing their job. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times those turnback folks are folks that are the competitors with them to get that cow to work appropriately. When you get into the cattle sorting, you're going in as a team of two and you need to work in conjunction. And a lot of times those are random draws in certain mm-hmm. roping events, right? You're working as a team. So you're going to see this concept play through. And I think that's what brings that family unit so tight in this arena or in this aspect of the equine world. And even in the roping pen, we'll talk a little bit about rodeo, Glenn, but even in that rodeo pen, sometimes they're sharing horses, going from one roping horse to another. So I think that is a very, very cool aspect of this house. And I think that it is, it's going to shine through. You'll see it when we're moving cows and people jumping in to help, you know what I mean, with that and getting things situated. There'll be plenty of hands on deck, I'm sure.
Another thing that I was surprised at when we, during the World Equestrian Games, when reining used to be a part of that, I was always surprised the number of reiners. I mean, you think about the Western sports, you think Oklahoma, Texas, Wyoming, Montana, right? But there, Ohio has a huge contingent of reiners. Some of the best in the world have come out of Ohio.
Yeah. It's kind of a hidden gem, I think, in that aspect. We know that it's one of the top states in the country from an equine perspective, right? I think they're ranked fourth or fifth, maybe fifth or sixth now. But the industry is strong here. When it comes to cows, right, a little bit more difficult because of the land is predominantly used for the farmland and agricultural aspects. But there are places to go, and that's what we want to do. We want to expose people to the opportunities that are here and bring some local talent from a regional perspective to the table so that people can learn, meet with those folks, talk about it, and figure out, you know, how they can become more involved if that's something they want to do or get a little help if that's what they want to do and develop into it.
Well, and that popularity certainly is growing. I mean, reined cow horse, just to pull an example, it has been creeping steadily eastward. And I know of a gentleman who kind of single-handedly has been in charge of making it popular in Louisiana. Like you wouldn't think about reined cow horse in Louisiana, but they have a really strong club down there. And he's been bringing in clinicians from Texas. And it's been creeping across Tennessee, too. We have a huge reined cow horse show. It used to be in Murfreesboro, and then it crept mm-hmm. back over to Memphis. But, you know, it's coming. It's coming east, and I love to see it. And then you mentioned Pennsylvania. I never would have thought about rodeo and cow and stuff like that happening in Pennsylvania, but it's definitely there. So it's just super exciting, and we're keeping up with the times at Equine Affair. We're going to bring it, so... Thank you so much.
I think that is it. I think you're right on it. We're gonna show a little bit of something different. And I know that in my world that I live in, that there's a lot of people that have expressed to me they're coming to Equine Affair this year because, and they've not been before. So that's always a good thing for us. It's a good thing for Equine Affair, and there's not a doubt in my mind, Allison, Equine Affair is going to do it right, and we're going to make it great.
And we're going to have a good time. And I'll say, every time I post about Cowtown on our Facebook, I have so many people asking if we're bringing it to Massachusetts. And that shocks me every time. But like, apparently the people up in New England are eager to see this too. So who knows?
Well,
who knows?
You know, I will tell you, there's a large contingent on Long Island that are big into the cow world too. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Working back there in the back of that arena and doing the Versatile Horse out in Massachusetts, I've heard from a lot of those folks that they have a lot of cow horses that come over and do the Versatile Horse stuff over there.
I heard that as a hint myself.
I mean, I can't promise anything. We'll see. But, you know, we're aware. Let's put it that way. I've mentioned it to Kogi that people are excited about it up in New England. So who knows, guys? You know, it may go beyond Ohio. Know. We'll see.
Yeah, I agree. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the time, and I'm looking forward to getting our hands dirty.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today and for speaking up and bringing Cowtown to Equine Affair.
It's my pleasure. Everyone, come down to Cooper. Come see us, please.
With less than a month to go until Equine Affair, it's time to stop procrastinating. Buy your tickets. I did. I booked everything. Book your hotel rooms and get those Fantasia seats. I got to do that yet. Before you lose your chance to attend North America's premier equine expo and equestrian gathering. We're celebrating 30 years of Equine Affair in Ohio, and you're invited. You can get all the details at equineaffair.com. Remember that the Fantasia seats, that's the nighttime spectacular show, those are sold separately than your ticket to get in, so you need to book those because they do sell out. But you can get your ticket to get in, and you can get your Fantasia seats. It's all at equineaffair.com. Chop, chop, people. You only got 3 weeks.
Yeah, you got to do this. If you're doing it, it's time to commit.
That's right. It's time to commit. Get your hotels and all. And by the way, there was, you know, I think there's so many hotels around there that you're not going to have a problem with that. So just get it done and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Good advice. I like it. So our next guest is Dave Treharn. He is one of our featured clinicians for Cowtown and Cooper. He and his wife, Christine May, who's also going to be presenting, they own and operate Treharn's Training Center in Negley, Ohio, where they have a boarding facility, a show arena, and a training program. Dave ropes competitively. He has won many championships at the Congress, qualified multiple times for the Mid-State Rodeo Association, and on Friday, April 12th, he'll be presenting two clinics on breakaway roping for our attendees as part of Cowtown in Cooper. So let's chat with Dave and get a little preview of what he's bringing to Equine Affair. Well, hi, Dave. Welcome to our show. We're excited to hear from you today.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're doing great. So we just got finished talking to John Strayer, who warmed us up for you. So tell us a little bit about your facility up in Negley. He told us that that's where he holds one of his shows pretty often. So what do you do up there?
Well, we are currently like a full event center for anything equine. We range from barrel racings, ranch sortings, team ropings, breakaway ropings. When we do all kinds of clinics and general lessons here.
So you kind of do a little bit of everything.
And he collects horses. That's the other thing he does up there. He collects horses.
I don't know if it's a collection. You know, a lot of those collections are racehorses. We also do a lot of stuff in the thoroughbred business too.
Oh, do you really? I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
We do a lot of rehabbing. We have an indoor pool, exercise machines.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Solariums, vibe plates, you name it, lasers, we've got it.
Wow, that's amazing.
I want to go on a field trip there. Can we come and visit?
We could absolutely set up a field trip. I don't know how the ending would be, but it would be a blast.
Beginning would be great. I don't know if you're ever going to leave.
Beginning would be a blast.
We'll just have to
muck stalls.
We'll
probably have you cleaning stalls by the time you get out of here.
Right. Well, we got to pay for our fun. So tell me a little bit about what you do in the horse world. So you're obviously a trainer, you give lessons, but you also compete, right? What do you most like to compete in?
We generally compete more in the team roping, myself, more than anything. Just this last weekend, we had a team roping here at the house. And then we went on over to Columbus, over to Crazy Woman Ranch, and competed over there in a team roping.
Crazy Woman Ranch?
Yeah. Yep. Right outside Lancaster.
I like that name.
Yeah. It's a barrel racing barn. The name's very fitting.
Well, that makes sense. So you are going to come up to Equine Affair with us next month, and you're going to give us a couple of breakaway roping clinics. And so breakaway roping is one of those things that it's huge, but I don't know that much about it. Can you kind of tell us, kind of break it down for me? What is breakaway roping? What's so special about it?
You know, the breakaway roping has gone crazy in our area. All the youth rodeos is where it's all started here. A few years ago, I had a couple girls come and want roping lessons because there's not a lot of places to go get roping lessons. And I, you know, of course, we used to tie calves and do all that stuff. And not that we were fantastic at it, but we could sure catch them all the time. So we have groups and groups of those kids. It's a great up-and-coming sport. Allows all the youth kids somewhere to go, somewhere to compete, somewhere to start. So we do tons and tons of that. We put on, like those jackpots. We do all that fun stuff to give those guys an opportunity so that maybe someday they could end up at the American or something, you know?
Can you kind of explain how it runs for those that don't know?
The breakaway roping is where you have a calf. A rope is tied to the saddle horn on the lady's horse. They run down, rope it. When the rope comes tight, it pulls the rope off of the saddle horn, and then the flag drops. It's basically like almost a woman's calf roping where they don't have to get off and tie one down.
Got it.
Okay. So it's basically how fast can you rope the calf, and then once you hit that spot, then the calf gets away, and it's whoever did it the fastest.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep, the faster the better.
The faster, well, that makes sense.
Okay, so I have to ask you, what's the hardest, when you're learning to rope, I mean, other than, what's the hardest thing? Usually when you're training any individual thing, there's one thing that the light bulb moment comes on once they figure that one thing out. What's the one thing with roping?
Aside from teaching them to swing their rope, you know, that's always a troublesome area in the beginning, but, you know, most people get through that really easy. Most of it's the horsemanship end of the thing. You know, why does their horse not stand quietly in the box? Why does their horse not run and track the calf the way it's supposed to? Why don't they stop at the end? You know, there's so many variables and so much stuff going on, and it's happening so fast that a lot of people struggle in that area.
Well, because it happens so quickly, I imagine you're, as the rider, trying to get your rope, you're trying to get your swing, you're trying to keep your eye on the calf, and you're also having to work with your horse, make sure your horse doesn't take off somewhere else. So there's a lot of things happening in, like, what, 2 seconds, 1 second? I mean, that's a lot to manage.
Yeah, right now, you know, the American and all the junior American stuff, all that stuff is going on, and them girls are roping those things in 1.9. You know, anywhere from 1.9 to 3.5 seems to be placing this year. So, you know, it all happens very,
so that's
very
less
fast.
Than 2 seconds?
Yes.
Wow. I can't do anything in less than 2 seconds.
I was going to say.
It's amazing, isn't it? And, you know, the girls are always way tougher than any of the boys. They're always way faster. It's crazy.
I believe it.
Why do you attribute that? Do they get in their head less than the boys do?
They try harder. They practice more. They're more dedicated.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They like their horses. They go to the barn.
Yeah. They spend time with their horses just hanging out.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I just imagine trying to tie your shoes in 2 seconds.
I can't.
It took me 10 minutes to call you on the phone. So, I mean.
And I answered.
And you answered. Exactly.
On the first ring.
I noticed that too, by the way. Thank you for that.
Yes,
and everybody knows that doesn't happen. So,
Well, yeah, Stephanie said she would remind you. And then I sent her an email last night just to say, hey, just remember, we're doing this. And she said, yeah, and I'll be there and I'll tell him to answer the phone. So I was really glad. So tell her thank you.
Yeah. She was all over me this morning. Make sure you're not doing something.
Tell us a little bit about your wife, too, Christine May, because she did well at Congress last year.
Yeah, my wife, she's an amazing person. She's done everything from ride, you know, English horses, running barrels, poles, team ropes with me, and breakaway ropes, and is very strong in everything she's ever done. Yeah, she won the Quarter Horse Congress this year. She won the senior on a horse that belongs to some friends of ours that had a baby last year. She's placed in the breakaway rope, and she's made the APRA finals this year in the breakaway rope. She competes everywhere we go, and she's always part of it. You always have to worry about Christine.
I have to know, how did the thoroughbreds come into the mix? Because, you know, it seems like you're predominantly Western. Where did they come in?
Well, everything I've ever done for a living has been with a horse, literally. And at one time, evidently, I had too much money, so I had to get rid of some.
And you thought, I'll just do the racing
and the racehorse business. Yeah,
I can throw that away quick.
Yeah, I had a guy that was working for me that was a big timer at the racetrack at one time, and you know, he loved it, and he kind of led me down that path, and it's been a great path for me. We have 100 and some starts a year. We win our fair share of races, but it allows you, it's just another avenue to make a living with a horse. And it's a blast. You know, if you do anything like this with a horse, you do it because you like the horses. The money is always come second, you know? But once we got started, we bought our first $500 racehorse, and it just escalated from there.
Are you breeding, or are you buying them at you know, young?
We dabbled in the breeding for a little while. In our area, that's a very tough spot. Getting those babies broke, you really need to be in an area like Florida.
All right.
Florida's a great place to be with thoroughbred babies. So we do mainly we're in the claiming business. Wow. We're the guys that come in and take your horse and you're mad at, and then we run it back, hopefully, and win with it.
Yeah. And apparently do some serious rehab with them, too.
Yeah, we do. And that's a big advantage for us, not only in the thoroughbred business, but the rope horse business, you know, with an indoor pool in the solarium. And we have some great vets in our area. All the stuff that kind of goes hand in hand keeps everything working.
Well, I was going to say, you're dealing with athletes. I mean, they're all athletes, basically. Your thoroughbreds are athletes. They're the sprinters. But then the roping horses are athletes, too. Can you talk a little bit about that? The athletic ability that's involved, because they've got a, like just in the breakaway roping, we were talking about what the rider has to juggle in that, you know, 1.9 to 3.5 seconds or whatever, but the horse is like sprinting out of that box, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The horses are the biggest part of anybody that you see winning, going up and down the road. 90% of the people that you talk to will tell you it's because they've got a great horse right now. You know, the breeding, the way the breeding's changed over the years, everything is so snappy, so fast, so quick-footed. It just has totally changed the game. You know, back in the day, you would never see them girls roping in 1.9. But their horses are so amazing. It just makes everything easier.
So I have a question for you that, you know, we talk about a lot on this show. You know, our average listener has 2 to 5 horses, right? Well, probably the average horse owner in the country has 1 to 5 horses. You know, that's the average. So you have so many horses. You've had so many horses over your lifetime. We always talk about the heart horse, that special horse, that the one you won on or you just had that partnership with that was like none other. Have you had that with one horse, or is it just hard to pick one when you've had so many?
No, I feel like everybody has one of those special horses, and I actually still have mine.
Okay.
I have a horse that I bought. He was a 3-year-old. He is 28 years old now.
Wow.
He is still giving riding lessons. We start 90% of the little kids on them. He's been hauled all over the country. He's been won on by all the guys that we've roped with have borrowed him, you know, when we were at the U.S. finals or wherever. He's been a fantastic horse. His name is Cletus.
He's
And he's an old school Peppy Sand Badger bred horse. He come from some friends of mine that live actually right down the road.
What made him so special?
No matter what the setup was, no matter where you were at, he was always a winner. He's never cheated you. There was never nothing that you ever had to worry about. You could always count on him. Every run was the same, whether you were going to be 4 seconds or 8 seconds.
And the only way that happens is if your horse loves that. I mean, they just love their job. That's the only way you get a horse like that.
Yeah, they have to absolutely love it as much as you do. I feel like the ones that you have to force, or not, I don't know if I should say force, the ones that you train into it, that take all the extra time, you know, generally those, they turn out to be great horses. But every now and then, you know, you just get one that wants to do it and almost does it on his own. Those are normally those special horses, you know.
Yeah. Put the round peg in the round hole with that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. So what are you going to be doing now at Equine Affair so everybody can seek you out and find you?
We are going to be getting everybody started in the breakaway roping. We are going to start from the ground up. We are going to go from not being able to swing a rope at all to hopefully by the end of the weekend there, we'll have some of those kids breakaway in on their horses.
Oh, wow. Cool. So you'd be able to watch the progression.
Absolutely. It'll be mind blowing from a kid that can't swing his rope to where he can catch the rope and dummy, which we use as a training tool. And it's so detrimental to everything. You know, they go from not being able to swing the rope to being able to do it on their horse behind the four wheeler. And then the next step is roping calves.
That's very cool. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you there, and we're looking forward to watching all of this happen. Do we know, Allison, which is it going to be in Cooper?
It is going to be in Cooper.
Okay.
And it'll be on Friday. Yeah, Dave is going to be on at, looks like, I got the schedule right in front of me, looks like 12:30 on Friday is going to be the beginner breakaway roping, and then at 4:30 it'll be intermediate breakaway roping.
Well, that'll be fun to watch. You know, everybody likes to watch the beginners do anything. So I think this is going to be there'll be some chuckles along the way too, which will make it a lot of fun. So Dave,
there'll be a lot of tangled ropes. That'll be for sure.
Dave, do you have a website or anything where people can find your operation?
We do. It is Treehorn Training Center on Facebook. You can look it up, and everything that we do here, all the lessons, all the events, and all the upcoming stuff will be posted on there.
All right, great. We'll post that link in our show notes as well. We'll see you in a month. Well, I am so very excited for all of this, and I'm very excited to see the cows there too. As you said, it is fun to watch them work. Jennifer's had an opportunity to do cutting and sorting before, and she said she just laughed the whole time she was riding. The horse does. She said the English riders get in trouble there because they're trying to do too much, and and they're just, you know, the guys who do this are saying, would you get out of the horse's way and just let him do his job? So she had fun, though.
I remember doing a little bit of team penning practice on my horse who was cutter bred. And I didn't have any clue what I was doing. And as far as I knew, he'd never been around cows. So that was like we were both just totally green, just in there trying to cut cows. And I remember trying to stay out of his way, because I could tell even then that he knew what he was supposed to do. Like, it was in his blood. He could, you know, I could feel it. And then all of a sudden he dropped down to do that little, like, cool cutting horse move. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. So I tapped him very gently with my foot, like, let's not. And then he just popped right back up and he was like, oh, okay, sorry, mom. And I was like, dang it, that would have been so cool. Why did you stop him? But
he
that was
just
a
doing
blast.
What he was supposed to do.
He was, yeah, like, you know, he was a grandson of Cutter Bill. I mean, like,
he was saying, Mom, you should have trusted me. This is all about trust.
I know. But yeah, it was fun. I love I loved it. I've never had so much fun as when I was doing some cow stuff. And that was years ago, so I can't wait.
All right, cool. And then, you know, everything else, obviously, you want to get your tickets now, as we said earlier in the show, equineaffair.com. Go there. Also, we wanted to announce that Equine Affair now has its own RSS feed. This particular podcast episode has its own RSS feed. So if you wanted to get it separately from Horses in the Morning, just search for Equine Affair Podcast on your podcast player, and it'll pop up, and it'll have all the past episodes of Equine Affair right there, separated by itself. So that is something I did want to mention, that all our Tuesdays and Thursday show are going to have their own RSS feeds, or currently do. So you can search for them separately and bring them up themselves, because sometimes it just makes it easier to go back and listen to past episodes on a player, and it's not mixed in with all the other, you know, 20 episodes we put out every month on Horses in the Morning. It just makes it easier to go find the past episodes. So keep that in mind. Equine Affair Podcast on your podcast player if you wish to do that. And you can also go to horsesinthemorning.com and click on the Equine Affair banner in the middle of the page and find all the past episodes on the website. Anything else before we say goodbye and meet next month, or in a few weeks, actually?
Oh, boy. Just safe travels, and I can't wait to see you all at Equine Affair. Please come. Please have a good time and help us celebrate 30 years. It's going to be an extra special one.